the biblical significance of fatherhood. Now, as we start off today, I'm going to start at a higher level, and then we'll work our way on in into the element of fatherhood that most of you all are probably expecting right now. But I want us to look at the biblical significance of fatherhood. Yes. You know, when I was looking at this, there was a couple of interesting things that I saw about fatherhood, or the word father in particular. The Bible makes reference to, when you think father, there are certain individuals who were denoted as the father of all people that dwelled in tents. Well, you know, they weren't birthing everybody that dwelled in a tent, but we use that same terminology today. For instance, if I said, who's the father of the automobile? Most of us would identify with Henry Ford being the father. Now, did he birth all automobiles? No. But the word father in that particular instance has the connotation of someone being the founder of something, the originator of something. So it denotes that person being its original manufacturer, if you will, of the automobile. That's one of the references to father. And then father also is the one that most of us can identify with from a family standpoint. They are the originator of a particular family or clan, if you will. So, you know, the patriarch, we've come to know the father who started the name, whatever your last name may be. They were the first one who started that name. So some different things, but I want to go with a little different perspective today. So if you will, walk with me. So the biblical significance of fatherhood. So I want to look at the fatherhood of faith and how it originates with Abraham. The fatherhood of faith and how it originates with Abraham. Here's what's interesting. Most people talk about faith and they use it in a New Testament perspective, as though faith did not exist in the Old Testament. But every time God gets ready to talk about faith or demonstrate faith, you know who he uses? Abraham. Because Abraham is the person who first who God decides or purposes to use to manifest the type of faith that he desires. So the fatherhood of faith originates with Abraham. Let's look at some text to kind of bring this in. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis, first book. Trying to help everybody out here, you know. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let me ask you something. Can you honestly see anybody else in Scripture that God has ever said that every family on the planet will be blessed because of you? See, we read stuff, but do you see how God began to use Abraham or Abram at this time and say every family will be blessed because of you? No pressure now. So God is about to do something in Abraham that he don't even realize how big it is. Even at this time, he cannot fathom with his mind what God is using or is going to use him to accomplish. But that don't stop you from being used by God. So look at this. I know you say, well, Pastor, how in the world is every... Okay, your family, my family, everybody's family, because of Abraham, is blessed. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. The fatherhood of faith originates with Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, first book in the New Testament. So I'm trying to be real simple today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What? So Matthew is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, who is the son of Abraham. Okay, we know Abraham didn't have David. And we know Abraham didn't have Jesus. Amen. So how is he the son? Now, I don't have time to do all of these other ones, but go to verse 17, Matthew chapter 1. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So Jesus is 42 generations from Abraham. So all families of the earth are blessed because 42 generations from when God told Abraham that the birth of the Savior of the world came through him. I'm slow walking, real slow. Because I want you to see something. God sets things in motion, even without Abraham being here, all families of the earth are still blessed because of him. Amen. I told you, we're taking a high level before we get down to that stuff that y'all was expecting me to talk about. But I'm coming to that. So, I wanted you to see that. All families are blessed, so that was fulfilled. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. I'm trying to cover some ground to show that the fatherhood of faith originates with Abraham. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, I know we're at 15 and 6 now. In Genesis chapter 12, God sends Abraham out. He leaves his father's house. He's en route to Canaan, right? We all got that, how God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make all the families of the earth going to be blessed because of you. We all got that. We're fine with that. So God obviously talked to Abraham and sent him on his way. But Genesis 15 and 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness? Well, didn't he believe in Genesis chapter 12? I mean, he left, done what God said. He had to be believing in, wasn't he? Well, this year you're going to be involved. Hallelujah. I ain't going to let you just sit there no more and be like, amen, amen. No, you're going to be involved this year. We're going to get this thing. So, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Well, without taking a whole lot of time here, when God says this to Abraham, or Abram at the time, he is talking with him about his lineage, having a child. Because Abram says, the thing that I'm missing is seed. You don't bless me all these other ways, but how in the world am I going to be a blessing to all of the families, and the only seed I have is my servant? So he has no children at this time, okay? But, oh my goodness, this is so good. But Sharon, God talks to him, and Abram believes him. With nothing to show for what he's believing. I need to come now and remove this word, because we usually think believe is something in your mind. If I insert the word trusted, and he trusted in the Lord and God counted it to him for righteousness. Because he trusted that what God was saying to him would come to pass. So, the fatherhood of faith originated not in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament with Abram. All right. Because when God says this to him, he still has no children. He trusted what God said, not what he saw. You know what God requires of us today? Trust what he says and not what we see. The same kind of faith Abram used. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. See, I like to do foundational things before we really delve into other stuff. So just we have to understand how is this working for us. New Living Translation, Romans chapter 4, verse 11, please. Let's start there. New Living Translation, Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Now, circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous, even before he was circumcised. So now, what I want you to understand is this. The scripture is saying, way before Abraham became circumcised, he had faith. Faith, well, the circumcision was a sign that God gave them of the covenant that he had with them. But circumcision wasn't the faith. It was the sign of the faith. This is a sign that I'm married. It is not the marriage, it's a sign of it. Okay? I'm still married without the ring on. Abraham still had faith before he was circumcised. I'm saying all this for a reason. We're going somewhere. Now, I put my ring back on. Okay. Pastor took his ring off. I put it back on. It's all right, y'all. It's okay. Don't nobody panic. It's all right. Hallelujah. Just an illustration, you know. So now look at this. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. What is pertaining to is saying, listen, those of us who are not Jews, who have the same faith that Abraham has, he's our spiritual father. Told you, we're going somewhere. Now, Okay. It says they are counted as righteous because of their faith. Now, remember in Genesis 15 and 6, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and then the Lord counted it for righteousness. And I said, let's take out believed and put in trusted. So, and because he trusted, it was counted for righteousness. It's saying the same thing about us. We are counted as righteous because of our faith. Amen. Not a certain. See, let me show you what this is saying and what it's not saying. This is saying you are counted as righteous because of your faith, not because of any work of your flesh, which is what circumcision was. So for those of us that are going through this mental gymnastics of, I got to do right, I got to make sure, you're trying to cross every T and dot every I, and you, the spiritual pressure, the gymnastics you're going through, free yourself up. Your righteousness is because of your faith or your trust in Jesus, just like Abraham's was. We're going slow so we can all get this together. See, circumcision doesn't make you righteous. Faith or trust in Jesus does. Look at verse 12. Now, on top of this, it says, and Abraham is also the spiritual father. Okay, so here's another category. He is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised. So the only people being circumcised would be Jews, because the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is writing to the Roman is with Gentiles who are there, but also dealing with how this relates to the Jews. So he says he is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith that Abraham had before he was circumcised. What he's saying is the fleshly act isn't what makes the difference. They can still be Jews, but they only gonna make it with righteousness through faith, not through circumcision. Now I'm doing this because I want you to see this was Old Testament. People think faith only started in the New Testament. Okay, you ready? Verse 13. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. Are you ready for this? This is an absolute bomb that I'm about to drop on you. God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. So everything God promised you is based on a right relationship with him. I wait for y'all to let the smoke clear a little bit. Because we have been so dogmatic on ourselves, on what we got to do and all of this. No, it's right relationship. God is interested in the relationship he has with you. His son died on Calvary so we could have a right relationship. Okay, we still going now. So now watch this. So, since it's all about a right relationship, this is why we need to be born again. Mm-hmm. Watch this. See, we say stuff, but I don't know if we get it. Do you realize that you need to be born again? Yeah. They didn't get that. You have to be born again. Implying that you have been born once, it's the second one you need. Yes. Every one of us were born into a family. See, what are we talking about? The fatherhood of faith originates with Abraham. Every one of us was born into a family. I'm going. Let's stick a pin there, right there. Some of us, we so caught up in what family we were born into. We so caught up in identifying with this and identifying with this. I was just wondering. Where was Ancestry.com 20 years ago? Listen, before you shoot me down for what I'm about to say, just listen to everything. What's the big deal on what family you were born into? Don't you know God used your parents to get you here? That's all that matters, because now that you're here, if you will take this word and work this word, let me show you something. Let me show you something, because you think I'm just talking. It's always been about family. That's why God wanted you to be born into His. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And we'll do those and we're going to move back. See, it's all about a right relationship. Now, okay. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is why you got to be born again, because you were in the wrong family first. Now God wants you in His family. So now wait a minute. If I'm in the family of God, why am I worrying about all my genealogy stuff on the other side? Why we weren't born with money? What's that got to do? Okay, you in this family now. Okay, watch this. Can you imagine what's the difference between you being born in Bill Gates' family and your family? Don't you think you have maybe, let's just say, maybe you have a little bit more liberty in Bill Gates' family than you possibly have in yours? Okay, wait a minute. What if you in God's family? But if you still acting like you came from your natural family, not understanding that that's why God gave you another family, because that family has a name that you can use. Use the family name to get what you need. You still working with this old family over here. He said, that's why you got to be born again. I want to bring you into a new family. You stuck on the old family. Well, where did I come from? Who was this? Who was my grandmama? And what good is that going to do you? We caught up in the wrong thing. He says the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's the family you want to be in. Okay, go back to where was we at? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 14 now. Let's move on. We're about to close that one out. See, we got to understand. Let's major on the right thing. I understand. I know what it's like. I don't have two or three last names. I know what it's like to be adopted. I know all of that kind of stuff. I understand. I know what it's like to grow up with a single parent. You know what? I know what it's like to go find my father, talk to him, and all these big expectations, and it comes out zoof. But now I got a new father. My life ain't dependent on all of that stuff. that's what God used to get me here. It's some things. Some of us, where we were conceived, how we were conceived, all I know is we conceived. That's all that matters. Listen. Okay, let's just be honest. All of us weren't playing. According to our family members, we weren't playing. You were baby X. We thought we was through. All of a sudden, what? It wasn't about their plan. It was about his plan, because he wants you in his family. So why are you investing all your time in finding out what's going on with a family you ain't supposed to stay in anyway? Now, I'm not saying anything against your loved ones. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a higher call, and that's to the family of God. That's where you belong. Now, Lord, please don't let nobody get this twisted, because I ain't saying it like that. I love my mom and my daddy. I ain't getting off all like that. But I think sometimes we walk in a mindset that's so limited because that's all we see is the earthly realm. All right. Thank you. Verse 14. So, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. If you're trying to keep the law, you are wearing yourself out. He said the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So, verse 16. So the promise is received how? Do you know every promise God has for you? Guess how you receive it. It is given as a free gift. You ain't working for it. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If, here's the whole condition. We have faith like Abraham's, who simply trusted God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, watch this. See, some of y'all, your daddy is not who you thought. I had to do that. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. The rest of y'all will get that later. Hallelujah. You'll get it later. I told you, relax. You take yourself too serious. Hallelujah. My goodness. Number two. Let me get ready to get out of here, y'all. See, honey. Yes, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Y'all too serious. If you thought that was something, wait till I give you point number two then. Yeah, this is a serious segue into it. Number two, spiritual fatherhood is also subject to a paternity test. Spiritual fatherhood is also subject to a paternity test. I had to first show you how it works, but now... Well, hallelujah. God has never been guilty of non-support. I don't care what you're dealing with, what's happening, God gonna always take care of his own. Some of y'all think I just be saying stuff. I'm telling you. It's things that you can, well, I'll get to that in a minute too. John chapter 8, let's go there. John chapter 8, verse 31, King James. Spiritual fatherhood is also subject to paternity tests. The Bible reads in John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So Jesus is talking to people who believe on him. Okay. He's not talking to a whole group of folks that's not involved. They're believing. Hallelujah. But he says something. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Mm-hmm. Somebody said salvation is no good unless it lasts. I mean, it's designed to last. So he says, if you continue. And that's with people. You know, you can't start out in the family and decide you don't want to be there no more. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that's been misquoted a lot of different places. But I want to share something with you. A little while ago, I was sharing some things, and a lot of you all said, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. And it's, especially when it's like, yeah, you know, your income going to double, hallelujah, I receive it, I receive it. Praise God. Listen to this. The truth that you apply is the truth that you receive. That's a part two to that. I'm just letting you jot that one down first. The truth that you apply is the truth that you receive. And the truth that you receive determines the freedom that you'll experience. God, I thank you. The truth that you apply is the truth that you receive. You good with that? So what we apply to our lives, that means we receive it.
That's right.
Not because we go, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. And I'm not saying don't do that. By all means, go ahead and lock it in with your mouth. The Bible says you snare by the words of your mouth. So lock it in with your mouth. Nothing wrong with that. But now make sure you apply it to your life. So the truth that you experience. Well, let me do that one first. Let me go back and do my other one first. The truth that you apply to your life is the truth that you receive. Now, the truth that you receive determines the freedom that you experience. For instance, is it true that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Yes.
Okay, I'll say that again in case some of you all are just a little, you know, caught up and not sure. Is it true? Yeah, my wife said you're still writing. Is it true that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Yes.
Now watch this. That's true everywhere.
Yes.
Now, but did everybody apply that?
No.
So is everybody experiencing that freedom?
No.
So the truth that you apply is the truth that you receive. And the truth that you receive determines the freedom that you experience. It's in everything. You want to talk money? Let's talk money. I believe that according unto the scriptures, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John 2. I believe that. So now, am I applying that to my life? That means I receive it. Okay? Now, because I've received that truth, then the next thing is it's going to determine the freedom that I experience. But now somebody else may not believe it, even though that's true. So consequently, they cannot experience that same level of freedom simply because they didn't receive it. That's why you see people in different places when it comes to the Word of God. They have not applied that truth to their lives. It's not that the truth didn't go forth, and it's not that the truth is not true. They didn't apply it to their lives. If you read even about the children of Israel when they was wandering in the wilderness, the Bible says they didn't mix it with faith. It was not properly applied. Now, there are some times where you hear a word, Listen, I'm not saying this for anybody. I'm saying it because it's true. There's times I remember my wife and I've seen it here. Well, people hear a word, and all of a sudden, you see somebody get up, and they take out some money, and they sow the money. So what they're saying, unbeknownst to the rest of us, is they're saying, I received that word, and I'm going to sow now, because what I'm doing is I'm applying that word to my life like this. Now, that's something that they make between them and God. So now they applied that by what they did. So now they have applied the truth that they heard. So now all of a sudden that truth that they heard is now, it determines the level of freedom that they experience. But now let's do it on the flip side. There are people who sit and they hear the same word. Not that sowing may not be the same way for everybody, but how do you apply it? If there's no application, you haven't received it. It just went forward. Now, it's not going to return to God void. It's going to accomplish what it was sent to do, but you just don't benefit because you didn't receive it. I told you this year is going to be different. I'm trying to raise us. We're going to be well-rounded. It ain't just becoming, ooh, did you hear that sermon? No. How can you apply this? If you want the fruit of this, how can you apply it? The truth that you apply. I mean, look at what the scripture says. And you shall know the truth. That word know is a Greek word, gnosko. It means to experience. Actually, it is the same word that they have for intercourse. When the Bible in the Old Testament says when Adam and Eve, when Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived, it's the same word. It has the same connotation. It has to do with a level of intimacy, a level of experience. Now, so when you know or experience the truth, it's because you applied it. It's not head knowledge. That's what we got to get away from. Oh, I know that scripture. But did you apply it? See, we keep saying, I know it. I'm going to say it. Okay, what you mean is I can quote it. Okay, let me share this with you. You can say, by his stripes, I am healed. Watch this. I can say, by his stripes, I am healed. Because I have experienced it. I'm saying it from my experience. I'm saying it from having applied it, and now I am living out the freedom from that word. And now watch this. I'm not saying that you can't keep saying it, but there's a difference. You've never experienced healing. You can say Jehovah Jireh all day long. But when you say it because the Lord provided for you, then there's something different about what you're saying. I've applied that word. I've experienced it. I know the truth, and that truth made me free. So it's never about head knowledge. See, y'all got me all out there. So as we move forward, begin to think, how are you applying this word to your life? What difference is it making in your life? What are you doing with it? You got a new family now. What you going to do with that? What you going to do with that? Some of you all never heard it like, what you going to do with that? My family got all kind of drama. Cause now you're in a new one. It ain't got all kind of drama. What you going to do now? But spiritual fatherhood is also subject to paternity tests. Boy, y'all, that was just my second verse. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? These Jews that are talking with Jesus, notice what they said. We Abraham's seed. What they did is they identified with the genealogical birthright instead of the spiritual birthright. We Abraham's seed. I don't know what you're talking about. But they didn't. Notice Jesus is having a spiritual conversation with them. Have you? Let me show you this. This is John chapter 8 in this whole passage here. Jesus is talking. Have you ever talked to somebody and y'all were talking, y'all were in a conversation and you were talking about one thing and they thought you was talking about something else? That's what's happening right here. They in a dialogue with Jesus and Jesus is talking to them about spiritual things and the best they can do is, Abraham, my granddaddy. That's what they're saying. So when you read that with this kind of understanding, you realize what's happening in the dialogue. That Jesus is talking on a whole nother plane, and they down here somewhere trying to figure out what's going on. So let's go forward. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." So now Jesus comes back and deals with the root cause of every man's failure. Sin. We were born into it and we became servants to it. Every man. Woman, boy, girl. So, you know, I'm including everybody. Now, jump down to verse 37. So Jesus says to them, "I know you Abraham's seed, but you're trying to kill me. Because my word hath no place in you." Let me share something with you. Jesus is aware of your biological family. No, I'm just giving you a moment to digest that. Jesus is aware of our biological family and all of the stuff that comes along with that. It's not shocking him. He's not thrown aside by what's going on in our families. No, no, no. He's aware of our family line. The question is, are we aware of his word? See, I can no longer, if you grew up without a father, that is not an excuse for you to be a lousy father. If your parents, or your mom, was abusive and was a drug addict and all of this other stuff, prostitute, whatever you want to do that. That is not an excuse for you as a believer to be like that. The question is not what your family was like. Jesus was aware of their family line. But he said, listen, where's my word? My word has no place in you. That's the problem. It's not about who your daddy was, who your mama was, the fact that they drank or they didn't drink or all of this. That ain't the issue. Where's my word? My word doesn't have a place in you. That's the problem. See, we fall on all of these. Well, you know, I was abused when I was young. Listen, most of us, the truth be told, when you talk about extension cord and irons and all of this, broom handles, all of that stuff qualifies as abuse today. Back then, we was just getting whoopings. Hallelujah, glory to God. You're like, see this mark right here? You know, you know, mama and them was swinging whatever. Boy, if you don't, hey, you better duck. That was part of life. Now it's called abuse. You put Timmy in timeout too long. Timeout, that's what they call in the game. In life, they don't do that. My mama wasn't calling no timeout. I was wishing, mama, time, stop beating me like that. And we said it was abuse. I mean, we say it's abuse now. All of that stuff is not an excuse for us to come over here as believers and no longer function in accordance to the word of God. Every child should be raised now in a Christian home if you're a Christian. Yeah. Will you? What? My parents beat me. Listen, you still have no excuse to take that word and say, okay, if I don't use the rod, I'm going to spoil the child. You just use the rod now with the measure of the Holy Spirit. I'm scared I may abuse them. Just because you was, so what are you operating out of? Fear instead of faith. I'm sorry. It's just some things that we need to learn. It's no excuse. You can't tell God, well, you know what? This is what happened to me, and I don't want it to happen to anyone else. So we had a sister one time, years ago. She don't go here. Years ago. She told my wife and I, she says, this is Charisma, was a little bitty baby. And she told us, she says, don't y'all whoop your child. She says, I was abused. I'm looking at her. You don't lost your mind. I'm about to abuse you right now because I'm going to whoop my child. Because she was like, they so nice. They so well behaved. That's because we whoop them. Oh, yeah, we whoop them. Yeah. And she was trying to tell us not to. Watch this. Because of what she experienced in her family. And she was saved. So I'm saying we have to be very careful, you all, that we don't come on this side and allow the things that we experienced in our jacked up family. And listen, your family is jacked up. So is mine. That's why we need to be born again. That's God knows that. But he gives us his word to fix us on this side. So we have to take the word of God and fix it. I didn't have a father at home early on. I had my uncles and I saw all of that kind of stuff and what they was doing. And they were the best role models I had, you know. Praise God. Then my mom, when she did get married, I had, my dad there. But his dad had died when he was young. So he was kind of learning this whole dad thing, you know. So none of that's an excuse for me with my children. Do you have the word? So are you applying what you say you receive? All right. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Listen, a person's consistent actions will display their spiritual lineage. A person's consistent actions. I ain't say nothing that you did here. Did consistently, who are you? If you lie all the time, I mean, you just lie all the time. Well, it's a little white lie. You lie all the time. When did lies get color? I mean, when did we start giving them colors? It's a white one, black one. They lies though, right? Well, yeah. Look like you see certain ones people don't want to respond to a whole my way. Can we go to the next point, Pastor? Let's just move on. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now, here we go again. Jesus talking on a whole nother level. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So wait a minute. Did you see what Jesus just did there? They said, we Abraham's seed. Jesus says, no. If you were. He said, I know who you are. They still doing spiritual. I mean, they still doing physical. Jesus says, spiritual, I know who you are. And watch this. Well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't even do this. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, We have one Father, even God. You know, people can be deceived into thinking they're following God while trying to destroy what God is doing. See, we're not born of fornication. Abraham was our father. All the time trying to kill Jesus. Trying to kill what God is doing. Now, I know y'all ain't going to say this in here, but you're going to go out of these doors and you're going to deal with some folks who they'll tell you in a minute, I believe in God. They think, because they're deceived right now into thinking that they're doing something for God when they're actually working against what he's trying to accomplish. It's not the first time. You see it right here in the text. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, he already says, if Abraham, now he just took it another level. Let's just go there. He says, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now we're talking about looking at the fact that, you know, there's some, how do we want to say this? Paternity tests that need to be dealt with. So here's one of the marks, if we could just, you know, look at this. He says, if God were your father, you would love me. Loving Jesus is an indication that God is your father. And you know, most people, yeah, praise God. Loving God's people is an indication that God is your father. Gets a little tight then. I got to love Ken? Yes. Yes. You got to love God's people. You got these folks who say, I believe in God and I love God. I can't stand the saints. So what part of heaven you going to be in? Exactly what part of heaven will people be in that don't want to be with the rest of the saints? Exactly where are they going to go? We're supposed to love God and his people. How can you love God whom you've not seen? And we have our bowels of compassion shut up for our brothers who we see all the time. Oh, bless the Lord. Old church, that'd have been a good amen. Hallelujah. Verse 43. Now Jesus says something. Y'all all right? Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They did not get the truth, so Jesus decided to break it down. Now, we have gone through this whole dialogue, and I gave you a little insight that there was two levels of conversation here. Jesus was talking up here, and they were way down there somewhere. Jesus, okay, verse 44. Jesus said, fine, enough of all of this other stuff. It's time for the rubber to meet the road. You and your father, the devil. Y'all ain't saved. Y'all just lost. The devil is your daddy. This is Jesus talking to them. You couldn't get it before when I was trying to hint to you, when I was trying to slide it to you in a way that you maybe can embrace it and look at how to apply it to your life. So fine, your dad is the devil. Is that clear enough for you? And he said, and the lust of your father you will do. In other words, you're going to do exactly what your father desires you to do. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning. That's why y'all trying to kill me. That's exactly what's going on. I'm telling you who your daddy is. Then he said, and he abode not in the truth. Why? Because ain't no truth in him. Do you see Jesus is serious now? Is this clear enough for you? Then he says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own because he is a liar and the originator of lies. That's what father means there. So he said, Satan is your daddy. You trying to do what he want to do, which is murder me. He was a murderer and a liar, just like you. Jesus pulled all the cover. He said, all right, let's make it plain now. So verse 45, he continues. He says, and because I tell you the truth, you don't believe it. He says, which one of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, what he was saying is, you couldn't comprehend or understand what was being said because it's of God. So watch this. People that are in the family of God hear and comprehend what God is saying. I don't understand all that church stuff. Let me tell you what people are really saying. It's not about you understanding every level of scripture and all of that. That ain't what that's saying. Jesus was telling them what? The gospel message, because he's the savior of the world. And guess what they couldn't understand? Couldn't understand the gospel. They were fighting against the gospel. They were fighting against the good news, because they couldn't comprehend it, they couldn't understand it. This ain't about you. Those of you all are sitting out here going, God help me, I thought you was my father. I don't understand everything in the Bible. That ain't what he was saying. You understand the gospel. They couldn't get that. Watch this. They talking with the gospel.
Yes. Wow, wow. Yes.
Verse 53, I'm trying to cover some ground here. Stick with me. So they say to him, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? See where they're at? After Jesus done broke it all down. And the prophets who are dead, who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Claiming God as your father is not the same as him being your father. But I want to show you something that I thought was real interesting. It says, Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Watch this. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. God will honor you. God's going to honor his children. That word honor means glory. There's some glory that God is going to cause you to have because you are his child. There's something that God is going to manifest to you about whose you are because you're his. Verse 55, we're almost reeling it in. He says, yet ye have not known him. He said, you ain't never knew him. He says, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar just like you are. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now Jesus says something to him. He says, since y'all just keep dealing with this Abraham thing, that's as far as you could go with the genealogy and all of this. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus is 30, probably 32, 33 at this time. And he's telling them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, wait, they just said Abraham and the prophets are dead. After they say Abraham and the prophets are dead, Jesus says, oh, did you know Abraham rejoiced to see my day? I want you to see how he's really, he is messing up this whole conversation that they're having. So they said, wait a minute, rejoice to see your day. So now watch how they begin to go through this. So he says in verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. So Abraham saw me. What? What in the world? The day he was talking, Abraham saw the day of what I am describing to you and was glad in it. But you trying to kill me. Now, verse 57. So now here's their response. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. You ain't even 50. What you talking about? And you say you don't seen Abraham. But wait a minute. Now wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute. Look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. If you go back through, and I don't have time for this. If you go back through John chapter 8, Jesus keeps saying, I am. I am. I am. He was always. Glennette, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, please. I want you to see what happened. And when it came time to do the DNA test or the paternity test, I want you to see what happened. I want you to see what freaked them out so bad. And God said unto Moses, you know, this is Moses in his burning bush experience. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus says, you got a problem with Abraham? So let me show you what's really going on here. And he uses the same wording. Before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am God. He pulled everything back. Says, no more games, no more. No, you ain't going to be caught up and have all these excuses. No more parables. I am God. So now the Jews, remember, we started off, the Bible says, the Jews that believed. Right? When we first started, then Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now he has brought them all the way down to saying, I'm God. Are you ready to continue now? Watch this. I want you to see this. Because here's, you're talking about paternity test? No problem. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the revelation of him saying, I'm God. Everything that God is, I am. Let me close with this. Three quick things. Four quick things I want to share with you. If we're going to pass the paternity test, you need to continue in faith. You need to continue in faith. It's not enough just to start believing. Are you going to continue? You've got to continue to the end. You cannot give up. You cannot walk away. You can't turn your back on God. You've got to continue. Your DNA, my DNA, God designed us to finish. We've got to finish this course that God has started us on with him. Number two, and I shared this with you all, the truth that you apply is the truth that you receive. The truth that you receive determines the freedom you experience. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You got to apply it. It comes down to the application of the truth that you say you receive. Once you apply it, that's the evidence that you receive it. Everyone that's a believer in here today, you've already done this. You heard the truth about who Jesus was, and you know what you did? You applied it to your life. And now you're experiencing that level of freedom. But here's the thing. Now you just need to do it in every area of your life. You tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted? Find the word on money and apply it to your life. And it will determine the level of freedom in money you experience. You tired of being sick? You know, we Holy Spirit, there's so much we write off because haven't you ever wondered, why do we have more diseases now than we've ever had? They come up with new names for stuff. Oh, I can't sleep at night. I got a sleep disorder. He giveth his beloved sweet sleep. But okay, if you don't take that word and apply it, keep on you and your sleep disorder. works in every area of our lives. But you've got to take the word and say, no, 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 I'm not going to live like that. That's not the way God intended for me to live. You got to mean this thing. This is, you are, we at war. This is real. And thirdly, children will do the works of their father. Jesus told him, he says, you are of your father, the devil. And his lust you're going to do, or his desires. You know what we should be doing? The desires of our father. If God is our father and he has desires, are we fulfilling them? What does God want from us? What does God desire? Let me tell you one thing. Every parent desires all their children to be together.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a moment. Every parent desires all their children to be together. Guess what God the Father desires? What are we doing to help bring the family together? And lastly, when God is your father, you love Jesus and you love people. These things are you want to talk about real paternity tests? I ain't saying that you like everybody, but you love them. Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. But listen, some folks got different personalities. We're not going to be the closest people in the world. Love you. God bless you. Want me to pray for you? No problem. We're going to pray for you. Do I want to go somewhere with you? In the same car all of that time? I don't know. Not because you're a bad person. Our personalities are different. I mean, I get in the car with you. You want to turn the heat up. I'm sweating. I don't want to go through that. You know? Don't mean that you're bad. That's just the way you are. But I love you with the love of the Lord. I am going to ensure your highest good if I can. That's all it is. We want the highest good for one another. I'm not going to tear you down with my mouth. I'm not going to slander you and all of this because I love you. I'm going to believe the good about you. I love you. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Natural brothers and sisters, you got somebody in your family. Y'all always get along? Yeah, right. Now, y'all fight like cats and dogs, but let somebody else say something. Oh, it's on now. Because you love your siblings. Even though they get on your nerves sometimes. So we have to understand that if we're going to really pass the paternity test, you need to love God and love God's people. That's just the way it is. Well, praise God.